Detweiler, and I invite you to come and join me as we take a pause in our busy day and pursue soul care, as we allow our bodies to slow down and our minds to be renewed with goodness, truth, and hope. This is PRN. Pause, renew, next. Hello, friends. Welcome. I'm so glad that you're here with me today. Go ahead and grab yourself something good to drink. Get nice and comfy, settle in, because we are going to have a little bit of a heart-to-heart together today. But before we do that, let's go ahead and do our slow down and centering activity. Today, what we're going to do is a thing called a body scan, where we slowly pay attention to each part of our body and anything that we notice, pain, tension, any other sensations. If you're able, go ahead and close your eyes. But if you need to keep them open to drive, please go ahead and do that too. You can still do this activity either way. So first we're going to start with our feet. Just notice anything that might be going on in that area. Then moving up to our ankles, our calves, our knees, our quads and thighs, our hips, our stomach, our back. Pay attention to your shoulders and anything that you might notice in that area. Now your arms, your hands. Now let's move our attention up to the neck. Your head, and particularly your face. Anything that you notice. Now, if you notice anything that needs to move, anything that needs to stretch, go ahead and do that now. And when you're ready, we'll go ahead and move on with our podcast. This season, our podcast theme is being a human in process, meaning we haven't arrived. It's really about the journey and talking about some of what that means. And so it's going to seem a little counterintuitive probably that I'm choosing to start on this particular topic, maybe even a bit of a downer, but I have a good reason, I promise. So I hope that you'll stick around and listen all the way through. We're going to start by talking about grief and lament. Now, why would I choose to start on those topics particularly? Well, I'll tell you why. I think it's because they deserve our attention. And part of what it means to be human, actually a lot of what it means to be human, has a starting point there. There is so much in our lives that's so different than what we expect. That's so much more heartbreaking than what we expect. So many things that we lose, so many people that we lose. So many dreams that we lose. And I think a lot of what it means to be a human in process is forming a relationship and learning how to navigate the things that we're grieving and lamenting. So today I just want to spend some time talking about that subject. You know, I'm going to talk about it from a cultural perspective as well as from a faith perspective. So culturally, I'll just say for those of us here in the United States of America, our culture does not do grief well at all, at all. Why do I say that? Because if somebody's sad for more than 2 weeks, they're diagnosed with depression. People come around very quickly to someone who's grieving, and they'll probably receive a lot of support for up to a week, maybe even up to a month. And then suddenly there's an expectation that they should be over it. Nobody speaks of it again. Nobody checks in on them anymore. All because there's an expectation that, I mean, we've been there and done that. Aren't you ready to move on now? If we feel sad for too long, really our culture, when there's any kind of pain, physical, emotional, or grief related, our culture's way of handling that is through medication. And so that's often the route that gets taken pretty quickly. Not that there's not a place for medication, because you guys know I will advocate for that all day long. But that can't be our one and only means of dealing with hard things. And our culture is pretty quick to go to fix-its, anything that can fix it quickly. And grief, if you've lived very long, suffering in general, doesn't usually have fix-its. So that leaves us in tension and it leaves us in process. In the church, I think also here in America, I can't speak to other countries that I don't live in, but here in the United States of America, I also think, unfortunately, some better than others, but unfortunately, it doesn't seem also like grief gets handled very well. And a lot of those same expectations show up, but even more unfortunately, with a God Band-Aid over top. Like, well, God must have known what he was doing, or the joy of the Lord is our strength. And statements like that and ideas that we should be coming into the house of the Lord full of joy or something's wrong with us only adds more complication to an already grieving heart. I do think it's interesting that there's two different words. There's the mental health word, which is grief, and there's the biblical word, which is lament. So let's talk about them both. Lament, if you look it up in the dictionary, the noun says a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. Wailing. Think about wailing. That's really letting it out. I mean, that's not like a little sniff or a little tear. That's like screaming, crying. The verb is to mourn, to grieve. So when we're talking about lament, we're talking about an active expression of grief. And the Bible brings it up repeatedly. About 65 of the Psalms, so almost half of the Psalms, are written about lament. Did you know there's a whole book of the Bible called Lamentations? It's also about lament. The whole book of Job is about suffering and sorrow. A lot of what Jesus spoke about was about suffering as well and preparing for what that would look like. So it's not like God didn't know that our human condition would require suffering, lamentation, and grief. He did know, and it's in his word, which tells me that not only does God know that in our human condition we are going to grieve, but also that he can handle it and that he invites it, that he doesn't want us to stuff it, that he wants us to express it. Now, you may be listening to this and you may know grief very well. You may have experienced a lot of grief in your lifetime. Or you may be listening to this and thinking, this has nothing to do with me at all. In fact, it's kind of a downer. I don't really want to think about grief. I don't really even want to talk about it. I'm going to invite you to take one step back and notice that sometimes when we think of grief, we mean the big losses, like losing a person that's close to us. That's everybody's worst nightmare. Nobody wants to experience that, which is why it's hard for us to think about grief. And you may have walked that road and know that experience very well. But grief and lament can also have to do with so many other things. That's why I think it's a part of the human condition, not just a once or twice thing. It's a thing that comes and goes in little waves and much bigger waves like tsunamis, depending on the situation and the thing that we've lost. But there are small losses every day. There are changes of title. There are changes of position. There are transitions in our lives where we move and we say goodbye. And even more than that, there's loss of expectations. You guys, we all have dreams and ideas of what things are going to be like. And then we experience the reality of what things are actually like. And rarely do those things match. Now, if you're an idealist, then you probably fall quite a lot. Other people may be expecting the worst, and maybe it just confirms what they already believed. But either way, when we go into parenting, we have an idea of what that's going to look like. And then God gives us children, and maybe they don't match that idea. Or maybe we're parenting children that come from hard places. Or maybe we're experiencing infertility, and our experience doesn't look anything like what we expected it would. Or perhaps we have an idea of what marriage is going to look like. And then we don't get married. We remain single. Or we find a spouse who isn't like what we thought they were the day that we got married, or they've changed over time. And we're having to struggle with that day after day. Perhaps we went into a career thinking we were going to save the world, only to find out that actually it's not even a good fit for us, and it feels like drudgery. Perhaps we have ideas of what we want our relationships to look like. And those don't always pan out. The people in our lives are disappointing us. Perhaps we have an idea of the work we're going to do for God and His kingdom. And the work He actually gives us does not match up to what we had in our heads. You can see that there are so many ways that we suffer loss and that we have to grieve. Tangible things and intangible things. It is a constant part of our process. You know, I often tell my clients when it comes to grief that there is no wrong way to grieve except not to do it. Because if we choose to repress our grief, our lament, we don't choose to express it in any way or acknowledge it even, then our bodies will suffer the consequences. If we choose not to notice our emotions, if we choose not to acknowledge the pain that we feel, then our heart and our mind live in disconnect. And we can compartmentalize that for a period of time, but our body and potentially our relationships are going to suffer the consequences of that long term. Our grief may end up coming out as resentment or anger at the people in our lives. Our grief may come out in physical illness because our body couldn't handle all that it was having to repress. There's nowhere good for it to go, which is why I really want to encourage you to notice, to pay attention. I know there's probably nothing inside of you that wants to do that. I understand completely. Again, we don't live in a culture that gives very much attention at all to grief and lament. And when we do, it's just very short. And then we try to go numb ourselves again. But as a counselor, I want to give you permission to notice, to pay attention. Those parts are also a part of your story. And they're parts of your story that deserve to be acknowledged, that maybe need a little bit of time and attention, maybe even some tears. And I think the Lord, through His word, normalizes and invites us to lament. He doesn't tell us to keep it all together. He doesn't tell us to shove it all down deep. If David, the man after God's own heart, could come very boldly before the Lord and tell Him just how much pain he was in, then I certainly think we have permission to do the same. So where can we start? You know, last year when we talked about telling our story, I don't know that I focused specifically on grief, but I definitely think that story work is a great place to start. If there's anything that is immediately popping into your head as we're talking about it, then that's probably a good place to start. But really notice, where are the places where your expectations have not met your reality? And are you holding some sadness about that? Are you holding some anger about that? Because either of those things indicate that there might be some grief work that needs to be done. Are you feeling disillusioned? Are you feeling like you're in deconstruction? Any of those things also are places where we might want to examine and pay attention to any grief that's showing up. If you've suffered big losses or little losses, of course you know that those are places where grief is showing up. So I want to encourage you, friend, to go ahead and start your lament process. That doesn't mean like you have to weep and wail for a whole week. I think a lot of people, in fact, I've heard this, I don't know how many times over the years as a counselor, sometimes people are afraid that if I start, I won't be able to stop. And I want to acknowledge that that's not true. That is not true. It may be painful. You may not know what to do with it. It may feel overwhelming. But anything that goes up must come down. It will not stay like that forever. But if you've been repressing things for a long time, then those emotions probably are going to feel big and slightly out of control. But know that it's just like a wave. It will come up, it will crest, and it will come back down again. And then another one may come later. Up, crest, and come back down again. So here's what I want to start with that may be a safe place to start. One way is just to begin to notice where are those places in our lives, like I just said. And another way that you might want to do it in a way that feels more controlled and not so out of control, in case you are afraid, what if I start and I can't stop, is to devote a specific time to acknowledging your grief, a time with a beginning and an end. That way you know this is the time that I'm devoting to this, and when it's over, I can move on. One way you might do that is say, okay, I'm going to allow myself on Saturday mornings to go to a park and take my journal and write about it. Or I'm going to allow myself to go cry at this particular time. Or I'm going to take pictures and remind myself of that relationship at this particular time and acknowledge any feelings that show up. Or I'm going to prayer journal about this. Or I'm going to set an appointment with my counselor to devote to paying attention to this grief issue that I notice is coming up in my heart. Those are just a few ways that you can begin to devote time and energy to doing that. And it may not be a one-time thing. Believe me, you may need more than one depending on what the issue is. And the third thing I want to acknowledge is that sometimes you can't plan grief. Sometimes those waves show up at the least expected times, often through some kind of trigger. So seeing somebody that reminds us about it, talking to somebody who's reminding us about it, talking to somebody who reminds us of the person that we're grieving, seeing other people's children who are behaving so well, missing out on what we thought parenting might look like. When we feel that show up, it's okay to acknowledge it. And in that moment, you may not be able to do anything about it. Maybe the middle of the grocery store is not the place to weep and wail. But notice it. Notice that your heart is telling you something and it's important. And then allow yourself to go cry if you need to. And if you're in a place where you can, go ahead. Let yourself cry. Let yourself weep and wail if you need to about how sad that is. And talking to a safe person, whether it be God, a friend, your mom, or your therapist, somebody who can attune with us and hear us and be a place of comfort, is probably one of the best ways that we can grieve. In our next podcast, we'll go through the 5 stages of grief together. You may know them very well, or maybe you've never heard them before. But either way, we're going to go through each of them and then just notice where in our lives those things may have been popping up, maybe currently or maybe in the past, and what those things might tell us about our own grief. And on that note, and certainly we all need it after talking about such a heavy subject, I want to leave you with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.